אנחנו לומדים בכתבי רבש
כרך א' learning an article by Rabash but the more they afflicted them
הנה כתוב
it is written but the more they afflicted them the more they multiplied and the more they spread out so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel the meaning of the words but the more they afflicted them is that they will multiply and spread to that same extent that they are afflicted It seems as though it is a condition that there cannot be multiplication and spreading in the work without there is a basis of affliction first. But to understand the above written, we must know the tenet, meaning, what is our essence? As it is explained in the introductions, it is only our will to receive. And certainly, when the will to receive is fulfilled, its wish, the fulfillment is not considered work, since work means what one is rewarded for. In other words, work is actions that man would avoid, and he does them only because he has no choice, since he wishes to receive some reward. The reward is considered the thing that he craves, and his only desire and wish is for that thing. True craving means that this thing touches his heart so deeply that he says, I'd rather die than to live if I cannot obtain it. It follows that if he has no affliction or pain for not having what he craves, it is not considered a craving.
This being the difference, are we suffering as a result of some kind of pain that we feel because something pain is... Or are we suffering because of love pains? Are we suffering because of corporeal problems and troubles? Or are we suffering because we yearn to reveal the Creator? Love pains, and this is something that there are no concessions about because what you receive later on is measured according to the suffering which you experience.
And his craving is measured by the extent of his suffering. It therefore follows that if one wishes to receive some satisfaction, there must first be a lack. This is so because there's no light without a kli, vessel, and no one can fill it with anything if there is no deficiency. For example, one cannot eat without appetite, or enjoy rest without fatigue. Hence, one is not suffering because the Egyptians in his body are afflicting him, unless he does not want to obey them and wishes to go by the way that displeases them. The root of reception in man is called self-love, and this is regarded as Egypt. There are many nations which are generally called the 70 nations that are the opposite of Kedusha, holiness, which are the 7 Sfirot, where each Sfira consists of 10. Hence, the number 70 nations. And also, each nation has its own unique desire. The Klipa of Egypt is a general Klipa. It is where the sparks of Kedusha fell, which the people of Israel, who were in Egypt, had to correct. Thus, first, there must be pain and affliction for not being able to exit their covenants. As it is written, and the children of Israel sighed because of the labor, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God because of the labor, and God heard their groaning. We should be precise about the words because of the labor being written twice. We should explain that all the sighs were from the labor, meaning that they could not work for the Creator. Indeed, their suffering was from not being able to make the work that they were doing be for the Creator. due to the Klipa of Egypt. This is why it is written, because of the labor, twice. One, all the sighs were not because they were lacking anything, they lacked only one thing. Meaning, they did not wish for any luxuries or payments. Their only lack, for which they felt pain and suffering, was that of not being able to do anything for the Creator. In other words, they wished that they would have a desire to give contentment to the Creator and not to themselves, but they couldn't. And this afflicted them. This is called wanting to have some grip in spirituality. Two, the second because of the labor comes to teach that, and their cry came up unto God. That God heard their groaning was because their only request was work. This comes to imply to the other because of the labor. It turns out that the whole exile that they felt was only because they were under the rule of the Klipa of Egypt, and they could not do anything to make it only in order to bestow. It is written in the Zohar, Rabbi Yehuda said, come and see that this is so, as Rabbi Yeshua of Sachnin said, as long as their minister was given dominion over Israel, the cry of Israel was not heard. When their minister fell, it writes, the king of Egypt died, and promptly, and the children of Israel sighed because of the labor, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God because of the labor. But until then, they were not answered in their cry.
Everything's clear? Everyone's tired, or what's going on? Amnon, what about you? I understand them, but you're young. What's with you? Yeah. You want to learn something else? I don't know, just things have to be a bit more lively.
What is their minister in the work? What does he mean by that?
What are the Egyptians?
The narrow place, a place that makes you sorry or sorrow, feel sorrow.
From the word sorrow, meaning that when a person reaches a state where he feels sorrow, that's called the time of Egypt. Right? What's it meant for? In order for him to run away, for him to want to rise above his will to receive, above the ego, for him to come out of exile into redemption. He doesn't immediately come out into redemption, he only jumps a bit above Egypt, and then he determines that he's ready to connect as one man and one heart and so on in order to get the force of correction called the Torah. And then he knows how to use it. Yeah?
So what is this minister here? What does that mean?
The minister is the one that sorrows the person, pains him. Okay, enough for you. What are we doing next? You want to continue or are we doing something else? What do you want? Workshop. Very well. Then the workshop is as follows. What does it mean that the Creator, what is thy has hemmed me from before and behind? You chewed it enough today. What does it mean that you have... What does it mean to hemp, to encompass? First question. What is that depiction that the Creator depicts for us?
The The Creator depicts His posterior, meaning the darkness, as if he vanishes for us. We don't feel Him. And then a place for work is given for us. Then we need, by the connection, by the light, by going above reason, we should discover Him and then see the before.
I think that before and behind, it's how the Creator is working with us in revelation, concealment, and through the behind and before, and revelation, and concealment, we have to see that it's Him. In all cases, from all directions, all depictions, situations, life, it's all Him. Our entire life is the work of the Creator, actually. But we have to connect in order to be in equivalence of form with it.
Yeah, in the initial point, I think I'm completely free, like a horse running in the range, or a donkey, maybe that's more correct. Suddenly I start to stumble upon different things, and I want to scrutinize where it comes from.
In general, we're talking about how does the Creator bring a person to adhesion with them, makes place and brings a person to adhesion with them.
We feel closer or further away. We feel different forms of relationships of the Creator with us, or maybe completely disconnected, and we must understand that anyhow, it's always the Creator operating reality around us, so that we can advance towards Him, and it's always in the most beneficial way that was given.
Everything I have inside me and everything I see outside of me, it's all the Creator. And it's all in order to bring me back to Him.
I also think that you can say that you have Him in behind Him before, is that there's none else besides Him, meaning He's everywhere. In the place where He's concealed, and also when I'm concealing Him from me, anywhere, there's none else besides Him.
We have to connect our work none else besides Him, saying that He is the one that's hemmed me in before, behind and before, and the work in connecting our hearts. We have to kind of connect these two things together.
And the workshop is an opportunity to practice this binding. Everything that's going on here, on the one hand, I'm sitting with other people sitting, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, I want to search behind every friend, within every friend, the Creator speaking through Him.
We have to feel how the Creator is constantly leading us. How from all the different conditions that He has created for us, which is the group and the books. Through which kind of actions do I start feeling that the Creator is leading me? By what remedies, something, how to feel that the Creator is leading me? Leading my desire, my heart, my thoughts, my feelings, my everything that I do, before I think, before I do the slightest motion on any level, thought, desire, act, action, that I'm operated, that there is an operating force, that there is an operating force that is working in the operating being, operated being. How do I reach a state where I feel that He is operating me? Please. That's called that, to discover that I am first.
Because there's a feeling, it starts from a state where I start to connect, some desire to connect. There I also feel all the situations, the good ones or the bad ones, or in general. This is a very high degree, as I understand today. I reached an understanding that, to reach the understanding that it all comes from Him. Even if I'm not yet there, there's still an element that I think that something still belongs to me. So let's try.
Simple. Through shame. Where I'm ashamed of my thoughts every time, that this is what I think about the friends, about society.
By nullification, however, this nullification doesn't depend on me, actually. It depends on the upper force working through me, that I am actually as a point that passes His force, meaning I nullify in order to join to myself and to raise the desires of the Ten through the Ten to the whole world, actually.
Really, when I get these kinds of thoughts that I'm coming closer to the others, to loving the friend, to entering these this wisdom, studying together, everything that disconnects me from corporeal reality, from simply being a beast walking through life on four, saying nothing. These are actually new desires born in me that, with the help of society, I start discovering His providence.
Yes, both by preparing front of Rav, Rav's words, and the group, of course, patience. With time, you start to subjugate yourself and to understand that it's not you working, rather the light is working on you, and you simply, with your eyes shut, do whatever the Kabbalists advise, and there are results for that. It takes time, but you come to a result in the end.
We're supposed to become as stuff, clay in the hands of the craftsman, but that's up to the environment. And making this effort towards the friends and towards the force that's operating, we're supposed to reach self-lowliness, and only from lowliness do we become clay.
I don't know. From what I understand today, there's no way to avoid the blows. There is no way to avoid it, and only by receiving blows and connecting yourselves to the environment that reveals that He is the first, there's none else beside Him, you can behave with it correctly. You have to see that He is the source.
Everyone took something from the lesson. I personally took the matter of shame, that it is an element that you can't avoid, because if you don't feel the shame, rob. So our entire development is to discover that the Creator is leading us each and every moment, in each and every case, in mind and in heart. If we try and advance, then this is how we reach the purpose of creation, where the purpose of creation is for the Creator to clothe in all of my desires and all of my thoughts, and for me and Him to be cleaved on to one another, to be cleaved together in thought and in desire, being the purpose of creation. If we're still not in that process, or I'm not discovering it yet, that I'm disconnected from Him, or I start discovering it, but I don't really understand it, I don't really feel it, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. There is some kind of a connection, but it is a bad connection. And also, someone changes, he comes in, he goes out, then that connection is called back-to-back, chol-be-chol. And the entire direction should be to achieve connection panim be panim, face to face, but at least have a connection of chol be chol, back to back. That sometimes I discover, sometimes I don't, that he's doing it and I don't want it, and so on. How do I at least discover these kinds of actions of the Creator in me?
Kadima.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. As shame is revealed...
Go ahead. You wanted a workshop.
So as shame is revealed, I find out how different I am from Him. And this difference is the posterior of the Creator. Because besides the Creator, there is nothing in the world. Either posterior or anterior. Panim. The posterior is reception, the anterior is bestowal, and these two qualities try all the time on the man side to resemble the bestower, and then there's mad. So there's always the will to receive, the will to bestow, and we must reach a state of receiving in order to bestow. In the beginning, you discover the posterior, and then the anterior.
Yeah. That being the acknowledging that we're all the time in this kind of a struggle between the ego and discovering the Creator, and regardless of who's pulling more strongly, we have to still remain in with the awareness that it's coming from Him, everything, in the good and in the bad things.
Environment must remind me all the time where and why is the blow coming, where from and why, where does shame come from, and where is the humiliation from. And also lessons as we had today help you get the points and you can grow from it.
Yeah, that's what revelation concealment's all about, because the revelation is face-to-face, and the concealment is the behind, the back part of the Creator. But it's fine, whether I'm in the first or second kind of concealment, but as long as I know that there is some kind of a disconnection and I can reconnect, it's up to me. So that's another way of looking at things.
Okay, society is the one giving us the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the path. And we always feel towards society how low we are, how much we cannot hold on to this greatness, and the gap between these two things is what helps us advance. Were we to have only one of them, we would not advance at all.
In order to really discover the behind, we have to aspire for something big. If we want something big, if we're looking for something big, then what you get is the very opposite.
Ultimately, the beautiful thing about this work is that the kli is actually becoming light. There is a sentence that the kli precedes the light, meaning we can see the posterior as part of the anterior, the face. It all depends on the way we relate to things. The Creator is the good that does good, and it's a fact, it's a law. The way we relate to it, and we try to discover it above reason, reason, so to speak, by the force of faith, to try to be in it, we discovered that the posterior is the posterior, the face is the face, and nothing is below that.
There are three things here. There is the goal we aspire for all the time. There is me who feels what I feel on my way for attaining the goal, and society that I work in. And we have to reach a state where, regardless of what I feel, in any state, I dive into the group in order to get the importance of the goal. And then you find out, it clears up what's behind, what's before, what's panim, what's face. That's the kind of work that we have to do. But the important thing is to constantly get the force that Rav. In our advancement, we probably can't change our actions, but we can only prepare ourselves correctly to accept any cases that we experience. And the way we accept them, the way we look at them, that determines the shape of the world that we discover. Meaning, what the things that reveal, it's from the beginning to the end of creation, these are probably the Rashimot, and these Rashimot, they pop up according to a certain process of, that's in accordance with Avyut and the connection between them, and it's upon us. The last small final part of the development of these Rashimot to determine our attitude consciously towards the development of these Rashimot, which shape reality for us. And then, with respect to the revelation of the Rashimot, we determine our situation. Either we're opposed to the Creator, or we're going with Him face to face, right? Okay, so it follows that our entire work is preparing ourselves for the revelation of the Rashimot. So, how do we prepare ourselves to discover the Rashimot in the right way? What does it mean in the right way? It probably doesn't mean that we necessarily try to avoid problems, running away from it, and being drawn to pleasure on the animalistic level. But here, we have to give some kind of a characteristic on the human level. So how do we prepare ourselves? Meaning, in what qualitative way do we prepare? How do we prepare ourselves qualitatively in order to discover the Rashimot in a way that we will feel that we're really developing along with the Creator's hope towards us?
It's the same process. That a person should hold himself within the framework of the environment. And accordingly, within this process, he starts living in a more sensitive way to the situations that appear to him. Out of that, the Rashimot that are revealed can help a person balance himself and to strengthen himself in the path with a greater intention until the Creator is revealed.
Yeah, if the revelation of the Rashimot is something constant, then a person has to cook himself in society, plant himself, deepen, excite himself, have the confidence that he's in the right environment to allow, to project this force towards the friends, to be brave. And especially act out the perfect state. We're in a perfect society, regardless of the Rashimot that pop up. We're going for it. together. Arvut.
Yeah, exactly. Everything you said. Of course, it cannot happen in one person. It only happens in the group. That simply goes by the advice of Kabbalists, and especially what Rabash tells us, the way he guides us. And as Rav was speaking, I had this picture in my mind of a group of fish, school of fish in the sea, and they all unite and they seem to be one large fish. And that's how we should behave. We have to be a large group that is not scared of anything, that can unite just like the fish.
Yeah. Seeing the greatness of the goal, seeing the group as great in accordance with what you invest into it, and in return you get the greatness of the goal, and you remember that whatever comes your way, momentarily you redirect yourself at the greatness of the goal, and it constantly resides in you and outside of you.
Yeah, just as a friend said, the only thing is the environment that can hold person so that they can accept the Rishimo and the right relationship. I'll just add a small example I had with my son. This week he made a drawing, and he couldn't really do it right, and he's practicing making drawings, and I heard he was very disappointed, so I called for him and I told him that every time we try and we don't succeed, specifically in this difficulty, and I told him about a research they made, that there exactly is the process of learning. You cannot learn a single thing in this world without having this feeling of failure. And I saw that it encouraged him that moment. He really understood. And there's really this research. This is the process. You cannot improve if you don't feel. You cannot. It's scientific. And if you'll have the environment that will always remind him that this is the way. This, in this case, it was me, but if he'll always get this perception, because his mind, he himself always runs to the sweet or bitter, so then they'll have the right attitude. We're in the right kind of progression process, so we just need the right environment to remind us.
The right attitude between the friends could be on account that we try and build the net of our food between us. And every person has the ability to choose the right environment every moment. And this is his effort to help the friends build the net of the Arvut. And by that, we're all included together and get the right attitude towards everything that reveals. And this is how we hold each other.
Only by incorporation can we use the Rishimo in the right way. Because the moment I pass this Rishimo and I throw this impression away and I fill up the whole group with greatness and importance, only then do I really pass this Rishimo to the right state, to the good state, what it was intended to serve the friends so that they can use it and by that reach the transformation of their qualities.
Yeah, all the Rishimos are revealed in the group, in the ten. And if I want for everything to reveal the right way, I want everything to be ready. I have to be there. I have to invest myself. I have to lift up the ten, invest in them, disseminate in the ten. Make them connect. Everything that you can do, you have to do in favor of the group. And then whatever reveals in the group will reveal in the right way. The more you invest, the better, the more correct it is for you. I don't know.
If on the one hand we do not agree to the process we're going through, on the other hand, we have to develop the ability to agree quickly, because ultimately this whole plan is there for us, to benefit us. And the more we let the upper mind lead, it will simply be easier for us.
אתה לא נמצא בהשתוקקות הזאת, אתה פתאום קולט שהחבר נמצא עם הכוס מים, מחכה לתת לך אותה. אבל זה לא ככה, הוא נפל מהשמיים. אתה השקעת...
When you don't feel the yearning, it's like when you yearn for something to happen, when you yearn to discover the greatness of the group, suddenly you find out that the friend's standing next to you with a glass of water. But unless you do that, you can't discover that unless you develop that desire in yourself.
There are many advice, but writings of Rabash. We'll read an interesting passage from Pri Chacham, the sage's fruit. Conversations, it is supposed to be by Baal HaSulam.
What do you mean supposed to be?
Supposed to be. Because there is a doubt about this book, if everything is really from net by Baal HaSulam, the essays by Baal of Sage's Fruit.
Maybe there is a small change in style, maybe.
Yeah, but it seems to be his language. Seems to me.
The ideas are his for sure.
Yes.
Most of these parts, I have pictures of them. They're big pictures where Baal HaSulam wrote like this, like that. Big sheets of paper. I have the images, but, you know, to find it, you really have to have a program in order to do it. I have 80 such big pages, and on them, a copy of his manuscripts. You know, written really, really small, and this is where the material for this book was taken from.
Every thought, even the thinnest one, the smallest one, is sent to a person by the Creator. And it is the force of movement of every person, animate and vegetable. Meaning, if the Creator wishes to move and animate an animal, He sends a thought to him, and this thought moves it. Just as He sends the rain to the earth, and the earth cannot feel who is the one sending this rain, likewise, a person cannot at all feel who sent this thought to him, for he will not feel it before it is in his mind. And since it is in his domain, it seems to him as it is part as him. By this you understand that there is no thought or perception in him. And the reason is simple. The Creator will not ever send us a thought that will be let us attain him. However, He organized the order of thoughts for people, so, and according to this order, one must attain him. And this is the meaning of there is none too far from him.
So it's clear. No. What does he want to say? Of course, all the thoughts, all the actions, everything we do, they are all tightly, simply, directly operated from above by that higher force. And this higher force has just one goal, for us to gradually discover through our gradual development, through our efforts, for us to develop the mind and the feeling, so that we'll start acknowledging that He is the one operating in us. But when we want to come to know that He is the one operating in us, we come to know His actions, His thoughts, why does He do it, the order of the development of the thoughts and actions that are going through us, and then we become like Him. Clear. Read it again.
Every thought, even the thinnest one, is sent to a person's mind by the Creator. This is the motivating force of people and animals. Meaning, if the Creator wishes to move, to cause a person to move, He sends him a thought. And this thought moves the person. Just as He sends rain upon the earth, and the earth is unable to feel who's the one sending this raining, likewise, a person is completely incapable of feeling who's the one sending this thought, because he will never feel it before it comes to his mind or imagination. And since it is part of him, it's in his authority, it seems to him to be part of him. By this you understand why there is no perception in the Creator, because the Creator will not send such a thought that will be ready-made for his attainment. However, he organized the order of thoughts, and by which this order, one is obligated to ultimately attain him. This is the meaning of there is none too far from the Creator.
Yes, Bensi.
איך אנחנו מגיעים לתפיסה הרגשית?
How can we achieve or understand the emotional perception of everything we heard from you today, and not as a teaching or a wisdom?
I can't pass what I feel on to you. You have to develop your own feelings. I'm giving you a certain piece of data which awakens a certain desire in you for it, for you to know that you're operated, and for you to know that you're either the donkey or the donkey driver, but in the meantime, you're sympathizing with the donkey, and you have to discover, according to this depiction, who's operating you, and how to come close. How to come closer to it, how to be as close as possible to those same actions which the Creator is performing. Now, there are plenty of questions here. In the meantime, in my world, I'm doing plenty of horrific deeds, everything with the intention in order to receive. Everything is adversely, in a bad way, towards everyone. That were it revealed, then I would have constantly been walking around ashamed. Not that I'm doing something bad to someone else in practice, but in thought and intention, for sure. So, I'm getting that from the Creator? Yes or no? What do you think? In what way, why does a thought that comes to me from the Creator, why does it become a bad thought, a bad action? What's going on here? So, we're told that this is exactly the clothing into a person's will to receive, where it's realized in the counter form. That's the difference between an animal and the human level, Adam. And from here on, we have to prepare ourselves in order to accept the Creator operating us in the right way, that you can no longer stand being in body meaning in consciousness, awareness, which turns the good, beautiful, nice actions of the Creator into its very opposite, and you can't stand it because you're hurting for Him. That what hurts you is that you are opposite to Him in this respect. How to put it? Your internality, or your conscience. Conscience, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, maybe conscience. See who I am, that everything I get from him, which is so beautiful, so enlightened, inverts into the very opposite in me, and so on. Yeah.
If now, meaning now, I start identifying that all I get on the path is blows.
Why blows? This I don't understand. Why do you look at it as blows? Again, I'm saying it's not blows. It's humiliation, it's shame, it's giving up our ego that we have to give up, that we feel that this is how we, otherwise we can't get out of it. We can't come out of our ego in any other way. If not for a blow, I can't let go of it. So why are these problems? Why isn't it something gladdening? Why isn't it something gladdening? This I don't get. Suppose I have some kind of a sickness in my body. And now I get a blow that beats this sickness out of me. So, I have to be happy. The medicine which I get, it works such that if it takes that disease out of me, it makes me feel bad. So, I have to be happy about it or not? I'm asking you. There's something bad in my body and it's leaving my body. But while it's leaving my body, I feel bad. What can you do? I had a problem with my tooth. I went to uproot it. No one likes that. Neve, you don't like it either? That's a wonder. I paid money for it. I did. Why? For the sorrow. No, for the healing. So this is how we have to relate to what the Creator is sending us, the blows that He's sending us, where with the help of these blows, we come out of our ego. So I have to kiss the stick.
So how do I reach?
So why do I look at my life? Why do I count the blows that I'm experiencing in life? I have to say that my entire life is a remedy, that only good and grace follow me all around.
So I want to get to this feeling you're describing, not the blow itself.
In your ego, you want to feel good while you're getting rid of the ego. How's that possible?
To reach this feeling, not in the ego, to reach this feeling, to see the entire reality as you're describing it.
So for this, you have to give a positive force in order to come out of your ego and feel that getting rid of the ego is good. That's called the reforming light. You'll get it. There's no limitation on that. For no one. Please, call up the guys, draw the light, and go ahead. You'll have enough strength for everything. And the main thing is, when will the real pleasure come? When you will feel that the Creator is clothed in you, and everything that you think and when get rid of that operates you. That's called adhesion. What a pleasure. What are you smiling about, Shai? You're depicting it. It's not bad, believe me. There's something else about it. How not to get that pleasure. There, it's real. It's real shells. If you want the original, I can show it to you. I have it in my archive. Let him ask, and we'll move on to the next part of the lesson, which is updates, or what is that? Okay. Updates about the Congress. Get ready. What can I do with them till a quarter to eight? Read a bit Zohar, the donkey driver. That's good. Ask quickly.